Hello friends, welcome back to another off-the-cuff ramble with me, FPL Mez. This is episode 10, and in this episode, I'm going to be covering off all the highs and lows and twists and turns of game week 9. It's been a wild ride, but I'm still in the top 100k. I'll also be discussing in this episode my game week 10 bus team and transfer thoughts, so grab your drinks and snacks, go for a walk, and enjoy the episode. I feel completely out of practice. So it's been a couple of weeks since I've done a live stream or done a video, actually. So it's been a horrendous couple of weeks of work and travel and work and travel. That's basically been my life. So I was setting up my stream yesterday and realized it's been a couple of weeks and had a mini freak out moment as well of how does this all work again? It's so funny. If you don't stream or do a video or interact with YouTube for a few weeks, it's easy to be out of the loop. And yeah, luckily there was no like major changes, so I was able to pick it up really quickly. But yeah, I had to just have a bit of a tweak around and make sure everything was working again using OBS and all of that jazz. So, you know, kudos to YouTubers like Ryan FPL Chatbox, who's in the chat right now. Who do really good, consistent streams on a regular basis, and it's so nice. Please do check out Ryan's channel, and I believe he's doing a stream shortly after this one, so in another 55 minutes or so 9 p.m. over here in Australia. But welcome to everyone that is in the chat, and for those that are listening on podcast, because obviously I'm uploading this as a podcast now as well. So for those of you that are listening on podcast, I will do my best to describe my game week 9 and talk about my game week 10 as clearly as I can. But thank you so much for being in the chat. Really do appreciate you all being there. I managed to hit over the last couple of weeks as well, managed to hit more than 500 subscribers. So thank you so much for that. I really do appreciate it. If you haven't subscribed already, please do subscribe. I try to be as consistent as possible, but sometimes it can be challenging. But yeah, please do hit the like and hit the subscribe button as well. It really does help. And I really do appreciate those of you that reached out to me while I was on this mini hiatus over the last couple of weeks as well. But it's great to be back. It's great to be talking about my game week and share my FPL journey with all of you. As you know, these are very off the cuff, very little preparation going into, you know, the streams that I do, the videos that I create, and the podcasts if you're listening via podcast. But this is my opportunity to share my FPL season with you, the highs and lows, everything that's working well, going wrong. I try to do retrospectives, have guests on as well. So there's a great lineup of guests coming on the show over the next couple of weeks. And hopefully when I'm in the UK as well over Christmas, and maybe I'll try and do something live as well. But great to see so many of you in the chat. I will jump straight into it. So this week's episode is called Salah Strikes Back. And mostly because Salah basically gave us a bit of a reminder that he is there. And I'm really happy that he's been pretty consistent. But before I get going, I just wanted to give a shout out to those that are in the chat right now. So Deshant, lovely to see you. Thank you again for being there live. Ryan, looking forward to your stream shortly after mine. Rev, so good to see you, Mike. Yeah, thank you for joining. Chaz, lovely to have you again. I love that. So Rev, perfect timing. Just settle down to do some work. I don't know. It's like, so there's been a lot of time changes since my last stream as well. So in the last couple of weeks, we've had a time change over here in Australia, UK. You guys have had a time change over there as well. Obviously, those countries in between usually get messed around with the time changes in the UK. And, you know, just so for us over here, it just makes watching the games really harder. But it also means when we do the streams like these, so for me, it's 8 p.m. It's a really good time. Sometimes I'll do it at 9 p.m. But that basically means it's 9 a.m. over in the UK. So that kind of sucks for you guys. But maybe you can grab a morning coffee or a tea after your stand up or whatever your first meeting is of the day, and you can join me with your drinks and snacks, whatever those may be. I haven't popped any popcorn, unfortunately, tonight, but I have got a very nice glass of gin that I will be enjoying as I talk through the cluster effery of my game week 9. Although I'm quite happy with where my team is. So that's a bit of a spoiler alert there. So thanks again, everyone, for being in the chat. Really do appreciate it. So to get started, I'm going to show you. So it's a bit, look, it's going to be a bit of a narrative and a bit of a storytelling exercise today, because I feel like I'm doing a bit of a catch up for the last sort of couple of game weeks anyway. So this was my game week 9 bus team. So for those of you that are listening, I've got Flecken in goal. I had Lewis, Trent, Gabriel, Foden, Rodgers, Saka, and Mbeumo. I had Solanke, Cunha, and Haaland captain as well. Obviously, I've got Fabianski on the bench thinking he's not going to play, surely. But yeah, lo and behold, he did. He outscored Flecken. Anyway, that's another spoiler there. Robinson on the bench as well, dibbling, and Greaves, who's out injured at the moment. So this was my bus team before I made any transfers going into game week 9. And honestly, I mean, let's just talk about what some of the things that happened, right? So these were some of my pre-game week thoughts. So I'm just going to zoom out ever so slightly there. So I'm using a tool called Mural. Absolutely love this tool. It means I can track my FPL journey. And yeah, it's a nice way. It's a nice tool to just collaborate, you know, share my journey with you. Anyway, so Sakagate happened. Now, Saka. So all the shenanigans around Saka, it was really frustrating to see what was going to happen. Is he injured? Is he not injured? Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? I mean, obviously, this kicked off with like the Bournemouth fixture anyway. Was it Bournemouth or was it Brighton? I can't remember what the last fixture was, actually. But anyway, it all happened then. Maybe it was Bournemouth. Because didn't Andy Martin sort of turn up at the stadium as well? Or at the hotel or something like that? Anyway, so... yep, cheeky gin indeed. It had to be done. It's one of those. Hi, Nikhil. Great to have you in the chat as well. So look, Sakagate happened. I was a little bit unsure about what was going on there. I was having some serious Palmer FOMO as well. So this is where I was at. I was planning to roll my 2 free transfers. That was the plan. The whole time I was chatting to like friends and, you know, catching up with others as well around this. And I was like, oh yeah, I've got to roll my 2 free transfers. I've managed once this season to roll up to 3 free transfers. And it was a really bizarre thing to see in my app as well. But anyway, managed to get to 3 free transfers. Fantastic. This time around, I've got 2 free transfers. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be amazing to go into game week 10 with 3 free transfers and play a mini wildcard, basically. And I'm starting to see many people on FPL Twitter where they've got something like 5 free transfers already. Good on them. Really happy for you. But they're also making crazy moves because 5 free transfers means you then get to do some crazy things as well, which might not be the best thing to do either. So anyway, 2 free transfers. I thought, what could go wrong? Saka happened. Sakagate happened. I then started thinking about, do I want Palmer? Do I need Palmer? Do I want Palmer? They're very different things, right? And so the more I thought about Saka, the more I was thinking, it's against Liverpool. Surely he won't score. It's Liverpool. They've had a really good start to the season. Defensively, we've been fantastic. Yeah, I'm going to get rid of Saka is what came to mind. Anyway, I then did the whole, you know, rigmarole around, do I bring in Palmer or do I bring in Salah? And I started thinking about Salah just because they've got really good transfers. Liverpool have got great fixtures coming up. It would be a good transfer, but then I would need to find some money in the bank to do that. So when I thought about Palmer, I thought, okay, again, from a fixture point of view, yes, Palmer could go off against absolutely anyone. But no, I was like, nope, I'm going to bring him in game week 12, serious FOMO, decided to not keep Salah, decided to bring in Salah, had to free up some cash, ended up getting rid of Trent. So going into game week 9, this is what I ended up with. So this was my final team. So my final team, I welcomed in Mo, which I was very happy about. I felt like I was being rebellious as well, like just going against the original plan that I had, decided to bring in Mo instead of going Palmer. Palmer was on my mind, had serious FOMO, all of that. Anyway, went off script, used my 2 free transfers, got rid of Trent, was quite sad about that because I was pretty sure that I'd be holding on to Trent. Decided not to, really happy with that team. And honestly, I did have a little bit of a feeling that maybe Saka would play, maybe Trent would get a really good, you know, score, like really good result against Arsenal. Arsenal defensively wasn't looking too good. They lost Saliba. Timber wasn't going to play, but then Timber played. So there was a little bit of back and forth around that. Really frustrating, but there you go. So this was the team that I ended up with, and I was kind of happy with it, but I used up 2 free transfers and I knew that I was going to dread this later. But you know, when you kind of have that moment after you've made your transfers, you look at your team and you go, oh yeah, this looks great on paper. This should be fine. And then I was thinking about, like, you know, I've got Aitnori on my bench, and honestly, I did think, it was a tough one because look, Fulham have also been pretty decent as well defensively. And I thought Everton, they're really struggling to score. I mean, it is McNeil scoring most of the time. DCL's pretty shit. I do feel for those of you that went DCL. Why did you go DCL? Anyway, so I decided to play Robinson and put Aitnori on the bench, which I deeply regret in hindsight, of course. But at the same time, I was thinking Brighton at home, pretty good, surely, right? But there you go. He got a really good return there, in the end. But I, like I said, on paper, looked okay, was happy with that. What could go wrong? It's okay. And you know that feeling that you get after you've just, got to the deadline, you've done your transfers, everything feels good, and then you start looking at your differentials. You go to Live FPL, and then you go, yeah, this is looking amazing. Check this out. I've got Cunha, I've got Foden, I've got Solanke, I've got Gabriel, all over 80% plus. So plus 80% for returns. Now, how good is that? How good is that? Anyway, before I carry on there, I'm just going to go into the chat again and just kind of give you guys a shout out. Thanks again, guys, for being there. Really do appreciate it. Chaz, so good to have. Yeah, Chris Wood's been amazing. Andrew, hey, great to see you, Andrew. Who else? TN, so great to have you in the chat. Thanks for being there. And yes, absolutely, rollercoaster of emotions. It's been a tough ride. Transfer remorse? Yeah, a little bit. But I don't regret, I never regret my transfers. I really don't. And if you've followed my journey so far, I'm pretty like cutthroat when it comes to, if I've transferred someone out, they're dead to me. It's okay. You know, and I've brought them back in as well. Like I've taken Havertz out twice now and brought him back twice. So yeah, I'm pretty okay with that. Hey, Colm, lovely to see you. Thanks again. I don't blame you, Ryan. DCL's pretty shit. Anyway, so I'm looking at my differentials and I'm thinking Palmer is the only player that is going to hurt me. And so I was like, all right, surely this will be the game week where he does not return. I was really hoping, really counting on Palmer not returning. But look at my differentials. I was really happy with that. I mean, Flecken is a bloody differential. Can you believe that? I feel like I am one of 20 million people who've got Flecken, but nope, he was a differential as well. And Robinson there too. And I captained Haaland. But anyway, look, it is what it is. That was basically where I had a little bit of high hopes. But in terms of how my team did, I mean, if I show you, so from a team point of view, look, I finished on 62 points. Last couple of game weeks, obviously, I haven't been able to catch up with all of you over the last couple of game weeks, but I dropped from, I think when I last did a stream, around 25K to about 93-ish K now, if I just round it up. And look, it's so frustrating because whilst I'm still doing really well and I'm really happy with where I'm at this point in the season, you know, we're pretty much just under a third of the way of the season, you know, we're into the season-ish. Really happy with it, but 62 points. Palmer, of course, had to be the killer for me this game week. You know, that was bound to happen. Cunha was my star, and I'm so happy that I brought in Cunha. I brought in Cunha, I think, a week earlier, so I brought him in game week 8. Happy that I brought him in game week 8. Obviously, Wolves have got some really good fixtures. fixtures are important. Fixtures and form is important. It's not fixtures over form, I feel. I think form is really important as well. Fixtures are equally important, and it's all about balancing it out. I love eye testing. I love watching the games as well, even if it's just highlights. And of course, I love data as well. So it's really important to balance all of these things. I know there's been a lot of managers and a lot of content creators who have been following data analytics FC all the way. And, you know, they're not really doing that well. It is what it is. And, you know, you play your own game and you play it your way, all of that jazz. I like to take a very balanced approach to how I play FPL, and I've learned that over the last couple of seasons. I'm looking at the brighter side of how my season, how my game week has gone and how my season is going. So whilst I've had a couple of rank drops over the last couple of game weeks, I'm really happy with where things are at. So there's like 19 of you in the chat right now and watching. Please do hit like, please do hit subscribe if you like this type of content. It's very rambly. It's very much my journey. I'm not going to tell you what sort of transfers you should make. Your team is unique to you and the way you like to play. So I'm just going to share with you my thought process. And if you like that, please do hit the like button as well. Other players that did reasonably well in my team. So, it was definitely a roller coaster. In fact, let me just zoom out a little bit more here. So, yeah, definitely a roller coaster. So, Gabriel did nothing, wasn't really expecting much there. I was really gutted about Robinson. I just thought maybe Robinson could get a return. I thought maybe he could get even a clean sheet. Flecken, I have no hopes. How many of you do have Flecken in your side? Let me know. And what are your plans with Flecken? Are you going to do something about Flecken? Or are you going to be playing Fabianski? Because look at Fabianski there. Let me zoom into that. You might not be able to see that super clearly. So Fabianski is getting 3 points. What the hell? What the hell? You know, I saw a couple of people who just for fun put in Fabianski to like in their starting 11. And of course, like he got three points. So if you had Flecken and you played Fabianski, good on you. Because I think that was the combination on wildcard six that I played anyway. In terms of returners, Mbeumo, how good is Brian Mbeumo? I'm really, really happy that I brought him in. I think I brought him in 7.1 mil, not even, yeah, I think it was about 7.1 mil. And I'm pretty sure his price has now climbed to about 7.8 or so. I can't believe it. And I am wondering now, like, will more managers, because he's still quite lowly owned. I mean, if you look around my rank, he's only 67% owned. That is relatively low for someone who is less than 8 million and returning consistently week after week. So, yeah, really happy that I've got Brian Mbeumo there. Salah came through, but then so did Saka. So did Saka. I think Saka got 9 points or something like that. It's so typical, isn't it? You take out that player, you take out the player and they go and score points. So, yeah, really frustrated about that. But Salah returned. I was quite surprised how highly owned Salah is. So one thing I've noticed over the last couple of days since, you know, the game week ended is how many managers, at least on my Twitter feed, and of course Twitter always feels like a bit of a bubble anyway, but on my Twitter feed, it felt like many managers did not have Salah in their side. And of course, you know, if they don't have Haaland, you've got Saka, Foden, Palmer, Salah maybe in your side. But managers like me who have got Haaland may not have Salah and then another, you know, 9 mil plus midfielder as well. So I've got Foden there, which in hindsight, maybe I shouldn't have gone Foden. Who knows? Maybe he'll return this game week. I feel like I'm, you know, I've been like a game week ahead also. Like I brought in Cunha. Cunha didn't do anything. I mean, Cunha was up against Man City, to be fair. Maybe Foden will do really well against Bournemouth. Who knows? But Bournemouth have also been good defensively. But yeah, I feel like I've been playing a little bit recklessly, but also having a lot of fun with it as well. So this is where I don't really regret any of my transfers. I'm really happy with the transfers that I have made, and I'm having a lot of fun. So, you know, whilst Ferdinand only got 3 points, he may do really well next game week. Or I might just throw a curveball right at the deadline or something and make some transfers. Who knows? Let's see. I'm really annoyed at myself for benching Eight Nori. So, you know, you want nothing more when you're making your transfers. You want nothing more than your transfers to pay off. So I was really happy that my transfers somewhat paid off. Obviously, Saka got 9 points. Salah got 10. So, yep, winning there ever so slightly. Trent, of course, I was very sad about losing from the team. But, you know, Eight Nori got 6 points there. But obviously, I benched him, so I didn't really get the points. But it's okay. It's not that bad. Yeah, it's hard not to feel a little bit disheartened when that happens as well. But, you know, honestly, I like once the deadline has passed and the games have been played, I try not to sort of, you know, dwell on the transfers that I've made. I like to just focus on looking forward and thinking about the decision-making process. Was it a good decision, bad decision? There's a constant debate about that in the community as well. You know, is it a good decision if it doesn't sort of have a good outcome? I don't know. I'm a firm believer of making good decisions and not being able to, control the outcome. So, yeah, it's all right. Anyway, Salah, yay. But where does that leave me? So if I show you the gap, I guess, like between me and where, I guess from a rank point of view, and this is where, so for the first sort of at least 9 game weeks, I guess, I've not really been focusing too much on my rank because obviously in the first 9 game weeks, 10 game weeks or so, it really doesn't matter. Everyone's so closely sort of packed in, but I think I start giving a shit after game week 10. So game week 10 onwards, you know, so I've been sort of mentioning my rank a little bit more there and sort of focusing in on a little bit more around some of those adjustments that I can make to, because it is still pretty close, but you can see, you know, top 50K, which I was in only a couple of weeks ago. It's 9 points away. So it's still very close. So, you know, it's not that bad. If you're, I don't know, 3 million, 4 million sort of mark, 2 million mark, it can be done. In fact, this time last season, I was around, you know, 2 to 4 million and hovering around there. But then I had a couple of leaps. And so, yeah, look, it can be done. But yeah, this is basically where I'm at. From a yo-yoing point of view, you know, I often sort of talk about how much of a yo-yo it has been for me this season. And it really does feel this way right now. So, you know, like my season started just, you know, within 1 million. It wasn't even that great. I know a lot of managers that jump straight to like 200K, 300K. But, you know, the start of the season for me was in 1 million. And then I played my triple captaincy in game week 2, which in hindsight, isn't that a good thing? For those of you that played your triple captaincy in game week 9, I'm really sorry. Like, it's such a shit outcome that, because whilst it was a really good fixture for Haaland to get some decent returns against Southampton, boy, it was a challenge watching Haaland miss opportunities and, you know, getting some service but not, you know, completing, like, not just, yeah, it's just really frustrating to watch that. I managed to get that big boost into, you know, top 50K-ish in game week 2. But you can see there, it's been yo-yoing since. So, you know, the highest rank I've had so far is about 15K, and then it's just been up and down. So I wildcarded in game week 6. Maybe it was the wildcard. I don't know. Maybe I played it too early. I don't know. I think I'll reflect on that a little bit more, maybe next game week or the game week after. So post-international break, during international break, I might do a retrospective. And so if you've caught any of my streams last season, this will be my first retrospective this season. But last season, I did several of them where I have a look at, you know, what's gone well in the first quarter or first third of the season even. So what's gone well? What have I learned? What did I lack in the season so far? And, you know, some of the learnings as well that I can take into the next sort of third of the season even. I keep thinking in quarters at the moment. But what can I take into the next quarter of the season? So that's what I'm thinking at the moment. So I'll probably do a retrospective to just kind of cover off how my season is going so far. And I like doing these mostly because I want to learn from my own process. I want to learn from some of the good decisions, bad decisions, average decisions that I've made, and see if I can do something differently, learn from it. But it also keeps me, I mean, I'm accountable only to myself, and I'm only, you know, I'm doing this for myself. And so whilst I'm enjoying it, this is what sort of gives me the most joy. So this is the process that I take. Yeah, I mean, whatever works for you. I also, and I know many managers have a do not touch or do not transfer list, and I'm starting to see some of those names appear in the chat. So Dushant, you're asking any thoughts about Darwin. I don't think I'd be bringing in Darwin into my team. So yeah, very, very sorry to say that. Love him as a player, absolute chaos. I'm so glad that we have him at Liverpool. But at the same time, I, from an FPL option perspective, not sure. Ryan, yep, yeah, agree. Do you start Fabianski over Raya Flecken this week? Maybe. I think so. I'm tempted to. I'm just, you know, but knowing my luck, whilst it's been decent, knowing my luck, Flecken's probably going to keep a clean sheet or something like that, right? Like, that's exactly what's going to happen as soon as we see that Fabianski's starting, and maybe we'll want to, you know, get Fabianski in our starting 11. What else? Thoughts? Thoughts on Son? Nah. Son seems to be okay, I think, as well. Darwin, Reece James? No, wouldn't touch Reece James either. Anyway, so yeah, so from a yo-yo point of view, it's been a little bit like this, unfortunately. And like I say, whilst I'm okay with where the team is at, I'm a little bit frustrated that it's just been high and low, high and low. So from a game week 9 review point of view, this is basically the rollercoaster journey that I've been on, that I'm showing you on the screen. Those of you that are listening to the podcast, please do go check out the video if you want to have a look at some of the visuals that I'm using and some of the GIFs I'm using in my stream as well. Anyway, we'll jump into game week 10. So I wanted to keep this stream fairly light, and only because, actually, I may as well mention it now. So only because tomorrow I'm catching up with Brian from FPL USA Press Play podcast, which is one of my favorite podcasts. So Brian is in town from California, and I'm catching up with him in Sydney over breakfast, and I'll be doing a Q&A. So I did tweet out a message for any questions that you want to send through for Brian. Brian is an excellent FPL manager. We've had a similar sort of journey with like Havertz in and out of our teams, and yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Yeah, I'm looking forward to catching up with Brian, and we'll be doing a live Q. Well, actually, no, it's not a live. In-person Q&A, which I'll upload as a video later on, and also share my final game week 10 thoughts as well. But if I jump to game week 10 and my bus team at the moment, so this is my game week 10 bus team. What I'm thinking at the moment, so I will start Flecken for the time being. Maybe I'll switch over to Fabianski because Chris Wood is on absolute form. And so I don't know, do I want to play Fabianski knowing how bad West Ham have been defensively and how on form Chris Wood has been as well? So maybe I will just stick to Flecken there. Fulham, on the other hand, are still, you know, they're scoring as well. And Jimenez has been on form. So, yeah, it's a tricky one. I'm not sure. I might decide at the 11th hour. But what do you reckon? Should I start Flecken or Fabianski? Let me know in the chat what your thoughts are. Are you starting Flecken or Fabianski? I think I saw a couple of questions around maybe starting Fabianski. But if you have both, which one are you thinking about starting? So, in my defense line, I've then got Lewis. So I'll be starting Lewis against Bournemouth. How good has Lewis been? Lewis at 4 point, I'm trying to remember what price I brought him in at. I think it was like 4.6, 4.7-ish. Really happy that I brought him in. I was a little bit tentative. I was thinking about Guardiola, and obviously Guardiola's been a fantastic pick as well. I've seen many managers with having Lewis and Guardiola in their sides. Good on you. Really glad because they've both been returning. And yes, I'm really happy with Lewis in the side. Gabriel is flagged at the moment. Not sure what to do about that just yet. Not confident, but also probably is okay. I'm not sure if Arsenal can afford to not have Gabriel as well. But then again, you know, it seems like most of their defense is looking like they're going to be back and playing. And I'm going to start Aitnori against Palace. Palace, look, it's a home fixture for Wolves as well. They've got a great fixture run coming up. Aitnori's been, you know, returning. He's on form, so I feel like it would be a good shout to play him. Palace have been a bit tentative, haven't they? They've not really been scoring the same way as we hoped. And, you know, I really feel bad for Eze, like where Eze's been a fantastic transfer last season for many managers, returning consistently. Obviously, he doesn't have Olise there. And whilst like Mateta is getting the goals, Eze just doesn't seem to be returning. So, yeah, I mean, although he has, you know, more recently, but in terms of consistency, not so much. So from a goal scoring perspective, maybe, just maybe, there could be a clean sheet there for Wolves. Not sure, but I'm going to start Aitnori ahead of Robinson, who has a home fixture against Brentford. But again, Brentford and Brian Mbeumo have been on amazing form, so I don't want to sort of risk playing Robinson. And obviously Robinson can get a attacking return as well, so could Aitnori. But look, if Gabriel is out, then Robinson does come in. I'm really hoping that there won't be a weird sort of, you know, transfer type of thing. Maybe Gabriel starts and, you know, he gets pulled off, I don't know, before 60 minutes, which would be an absolute nightmare. We've been seeing a little bit of that happening, actually, haven't we? Like Rodgers, bloody hell, you know, getting substituted off before 60 minutes. How annoying is that? But then he's 5 million. You know, I brought him in at 5 million. And what do you expect from a 5 million player, right? So I don't know. Do we expect him to play regularly? Maybe. I don't know. It's a tough one. But I will start him against Tottenham because Spurs, you know, haven't been keeping many clean sheets. Although they've been all right. But given it's Villa that, you know, Spurs are playing. So I'm thinking about keeping Solanke there as well. Not sure because Solanke has been on my should I cut him out of my team list as well. So do you have Solanke in your side? If you do, let me know in the chat. What are you thinking about doing with Solanke? I'm not sure at the moment. He's been okay, I would say, but then the last couple of game weeks, maybe it's the highlight parts that I've seen anyway. I feel like he's avoiding getting into the box. It's almost like he's staying away from getting into goal scoring positions. And as the preferred number nine, not number nine, you'd think that he would be there, just constantly, So I don't know. I'm not sure what to do about Solanke. I'm really unsure about that. Let me know what you think. I mean, given they've got two home games, so John, absolutely, you know, two home games. I feel like we have to keep him. And so I'm trying to convince myself that that is the right thing to do. So at the moment, what I'm thinking is to roll the transfer. Before I go to what some of the options may be for game week 10, I'll be playing Cunha up front as well. So, and Haaland as well. So just to kind of finish off my midfield as well. So I've got Salah as captain at the moment against Brighton. It's a home fixture for Liverpool. I think it's a really good fixture for Salah. Salah loves playing Brighton. I think there's a couple of teams that he absolutely loves, you know, scoring against and playing well. I know, you know, everyone might say Salah's form's dipped a little bit. He's a little bit slower, yada, 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 all of that. I love Salah. I think he's a great player. I brought him in, took out Saka to bring him in. Really happy, you know, that I have him in the team. And it seems like everyone wants to bring Salah back into their team, which is absolutely hilarious. So, yep, Salah strikes again, and I reckon he could get some good returns in game week 10 as well. So he's going to be my captain at the moment. I do have Haaland inside. I know like a lot of managers don't have Haaland if they have Salah. A lot of managers like me started with both Haaland and Salah. And so, and I guess this is the thing that I wanted to point out, that it's okay to bring players in and out. I think at the moment, with the amount of transfers that we've got as well, whilst it seems like wasted opportunity, wasted transfers, I think it is easier to bring players in and out. And I, like I mentioned, I brought in Havertz twice and I've taken him out twice. And same with Salah. This is the second time I'm bringing him in, and we're only in game week 10. So it's okay to do that. I think the problem that we're going to have is players like Haaland, who are like 15.4 mil now. How do you bring Haaland back? And I think that's going to be the challenge, right? So I'm a little bit tentative about losing Haaland right now. I think a lot of managers are talking about losing Haaland right now. I don't feel too good about that against Bournemouth. And of course, you know, they've got, I think they've got Spurs next. We'll have a look at the fixtures. Actually, let me just go to the fixtures really quickly. Who is Haaland? Who's Man City playing next? So they've got Brighton. Yeah. So do you really want to take Haaland out when Haaland's got Bournemouth and Brighton? I know they're away fixtures, but do you really want to do that? I don't know. It's not something that I'm keen to do at the moment. So at the moment I'm thinking to just roll. And or this is some of the rage transfery types of thoughts that I've got as well. And tell me what you think. You can sort of say, no, Mira, that's stupid. Don't make that move. But for those of you that are listening, I have been very close to going Foden out and bringing Palmer in and taking Solanke out and bringing Wissa in, who is on excellent form even after, you know, having a bit of, you know, time away. He's just come back in and, yeah. Actually, speaking of Wissa, how shit is it that the Premier League gave him the goal, but we haven't, well, I say we, I don't have Wissa in the side at the moment, but those managers that do have Wissa in their side, they've been robbed. So how shit is that he didn't get the points? And I guess like this is the time that sort of passes after game week is finished and all of that. So yeah, kind of shit. But this is what I'm thinking. Do I make two transfers? They're not free transfers. I would be taking a hit. I'd be taking a -4 to bring in Palmer and Wissa. If I don't do Wissa, maybe it's Raul Jimenez, who also has really good fixtures coming up. Or it could even be a Welbeck. But if it's Welbeck, then I may as well wait a couple of game weeks and think about that from game week 12 onwards and make these same transfers in game week 12, maybe. And so my original plan was to wait for Palmer, bring Palmer in game week 12, where the fixtures sort of, you know, shift. And that would make more sense. But gosh, I've got so much FOMO. And then at the same time, I'm thinking, you only live once. I'm really enjoying playing FPL this season. I'm having a lot of fun with it. Why should I do something? Why should I constrain myself to sticking to a plan that I had as well? So anyway, so I'm very close to deleting my app from my phone so I don't make these transfers, and almost deleting the authenticator app from my phone as well so I don't authenticate using the browser to get onto the FPL webpage. So I don't know. So that's what I'm thinking at the moment. I'm not sure. Let me know what you think. Would you make these transfers? You've seen my team. So, you know, this is my bus team. So based on my bus team, I'd be taking out Foden, taking out Solanke. But Solanke's got two good home fixtures. They've got Ipswich in game week 11. And then Foden, of course, have got two good, Foden's got really good two fixtures as well coming up. So that's where I'm thinking. Let me know what you think. Is that a good move to make, not make, not sure. Anyway, so looking at the fixtures again, I think, you know, we all know that there's a bit of a swing happening post game week 12. So really good time to wildcard if you haven't wildcarded. I was thinking about game week 12, basically after the next international break, to think about wildcarding. Really good opportunity. But yeah, look, if anything, if I roll the transfer, I will go into game week 12 with two free transfers. And so Yeah, I will probably make those same transfers, you know, in game week 12 is what I'm thinking at the moment. But in terms of other fixtures, you know, things do sort of switch over for United. Will they have a new manager bounce? Who knows? Maybe. Yeah, no idea. Yeah, let's see. Let's see what happens. It's a hilarious, you know, situation. But I think I was reading a tweet that most Man United fans are probably very happy that Ten Hag is gone, and all of those that don't support United, so managers, FPL managers like me, are very unhappy because, yeah, I mean, Ten Hag's been a lot of fun to watch in the background. Anyway, so yeah, look, from a fixtures point of view, other players that I'd be thinking about, so as I mentioned, Raul Jimenez would be really good to bring in. Fulham have still got some really good fixtures in between over here, so let me just show you there. Sorry, like, that toolbar is getting in the way. So game week 12, even, you know, they've got Wolves, so there's some really good fixtures here, so yeah, that's an opportunity as well. Wolves, excellent fixture run. I went with Cunha, brought in, so I did take out Trent and bring in, you know, eight Nori, so happy with that. And it was mostly for this fixture run as well. And I think you've got to be in it to win it, right? So having the right players that are on form and plus the fixtures as well just seems like a really good, really good opportunity there. Forest, look, you know, Chris Wood has been consistently returning. Couple of tough, like, I mean, quite a few tough fixtures coming up there in this hop on, hop off. Graphic by Lega Mane, Ipswich probably the only really good one, game week 13 there, and then, you know, slightly sort of tougher fixtures. But given he's on form, you know, again, could be really good. If I don't go Wissa, so as I mentioned, these transfers, if I don't go Wissa, I was looking at this chart that that Sertalp has recently sort of posted up on Twitter, where he's looking at his sort of ensemble, you know, I guess data that he's been pulling from all of these different sources. So DraftHound, Fantasy Football Fix, and Fantasy Football Hub. Scout, you know, review, and Mikkel Tokvam's data charts and algorithms and all of that. And yeah, it was really interesting to see here which some of the popular transfers or options for forwards under 6.5 million. So, you know, the ensemble that he has here, he's got Wood there at, you know, as the top pick, and then Raul Jimenez second, Cunha third. DCL, interestingly, which is the analytics favorite, you know, there in the fourth position, Wissa, Welbeck, and Vardy. Now, if I was reordering this based on, you know, eye test and what I've seen and where my head's at and what I'm thinking, yeah, I don't mind Wood being there, you know, at the top there. But given the fixtures, I don't think I'd want to bring in Wood at the moment. So I quite like the order of Cunha, you know, Raul maybe, and Wissa. No particular order there. Maybe Cunha, Wissa, Raul, that sort of order. But then from game week 12, you know, there's some really good fixtures coming up for Brighton. So let's just have a quick look there. So Brighton, where is Brighton? Where is Brighton? Brighton, Brighton, Brighton. Am I like just being bloody blind? Oh no, I've got it right there. Bloody hell. All right, so game week 12 onwards, they've got Bournemouth, Southampton, Fulham, Leicester, Palace, West Ham, Brentford. Those are great fixtures between game week 12 to game week 18. So I think from that point of view, if I was to make those moves, so these moves over here, if I was to bring in a forward for Solanke for game week 12 onwards, maybe I go with Welbeck instead. So that's what I'm thinking at the moment. But yeah, really interesting to see this chart and some of the what the other data sort of analytic-y stuff is telling us. And of course, balance it out. If you're an analytics FC, good on you. Happy for you. Not my style of play, not the way I like to play. But yeah, so that's what this is telling us at the moment. Captaincy-wise, look, I am, as I mentioned, I'm on Salah at the moment. Really happy to stick with Salah. I brought Salah in for the, I mean, look, I think he's pretty fixture-proof as well. He scored a goal against against Arsenal. And so, you know, given that Salah's playing Brighton next, I think he's a really good captaincy option. And Lego Mane's captaincy hop on, hop off chart as well suggests the same thing. Although I didn't really look at this before I made that decision. I was just going on pure vibes when I made that transfer. And so, yeah, really happy having Salah back in my side. Of course, I've got major Palmer FOMO there as well. So it's not like I don't want to bring Palmer into my team. He is the biggest threat to my team at the moment. 70% owned, probably more now, especially going up against United. So, yeah, I'm not feeling too great about it, not having Palmer. But, yeah, I think I'm going to just be patient and, like I said, delete all the apps and maybe avoid making any transfers. Let's see. Before I wrap up this stream, a little bit longer than what I hoped it would be, but gosh, you know, when I say I ramble, I do ramble. So thank you for those of you that are still tuned in. I really do appreciate you being there. Please do like and subscribe if you like this type of rambly content and if you want to follow my FPL journey as well. But I've been doing a little bit of this as well just to kind of see where things are at. So this is my, I've been rewatching Schitt's Creek at the moment. If you haven't checked out Schitt's Creek, please do check out Schitt's Creek. It's fantastic. Yeah, so from a Dan from Schitt's Creek emoji or GIF point of view, Gabrielle's a bit of a not sure. No Palmer against United makes me feel very uncertain. Cunha, I've got in the category of not sure. And look at you go, because, you know, Cunha is doing fantastic as well. But I saw this post from Black Wolf. So Dan, who also is a podcaster on FPL Press Play podcast, USA Press Play podcast. I always get that sort of mixed up there. Sorry, guys. It looks like maybe, just maybe, something is not quite right there with Cunha. Yeah, let's see what happens. But yeah, I'll let you check out that post. But it looks like he trained and yeah, there was some ice packs on his knees. So yeah, not sure there. The other news that came out, and it was like, look, you know, I don't know, I'm okay with this. I'm quite happy about this. It's an awful thing to say. I really like KDB. I would have loved to have brought KDB into my side if he hadn't got injured. Foden probably wouldn't have been Foden. It would have been KDB as the Man City midfielder of choice. But he's been ruled out for until after the international break. So he'll miss the next two games, which is great, because if I'm thinking about getting rid of Foden in game week 12, it just, yeah, it just works really well. I just hope Foden can start returning. It's just been so frustrating watching him. You know, I brought him in for, you know, game week 8. And so watching him in game week 8, and game week 9, where he got benched in game week 8 and then, you know, started in game week 9, which we were all very excited about if you have Foden on your side. I think KDB was the biggest threat to him as well. But it seems like there's other players, obviously, in the Mad City midfield that is also a threat to to Foden as well. So, yeah, look, I'm kind of happy about that. And also Salah, yeah, look, whilst Saka returned as well, I think it was worth bringing in Salah. So really happy with some of those transfers that I have made. So look, that's it, folks. That's basically where I'm at and what I'm thinking. So as I mentioned, my bus team, it looks like I'm going to roll my transfers is what I'm thinking, or transfer even. I keep thinking I held on to those two free transfers. I did not. So that's what I'm thinking at the moment. I will just roll the free transfer and wait to make these moves later in game week 12 and just roll for the next two. But you know what? Shit happens, you know. There's always things that could go wrong as well. So I don't know if I want to remove Gabriel. I think he's risen in price a few times. I know I'll want to bring him back. So I was thinking if I, you know, don't get rid of Solanke for the next two, got rid of Foden now. Yeah, maybe I take out Gabriel to free up some funds to bring in Palmer because of the Palmer FOMO that I have. But I think I'm just going to leave it after the KDB news as well, because Foden's got two good games coming up and really good opportunity to get some returns. Solanke's got two home fixtures, one of them being Ipswich. Again, very good opportunity. And my bench is not terrible either. So I'll probably just have Robinson coming on if Gabriel is out as well. So that's basically what I'm thinking there. Thank you so much for those of you that are in the chat. I'm just going to like just go through the chat really quickly. And yeah, so huge shout out to all of you for being there. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate it. Solanke will be in the GK position by game week 38. Thanks, Carl. That's great. And yeah, absolutely, Mike. You know, Solanke's data it's just been amazing. Actually, before I forget, there was a very early question. So let's see if that fits on the page. Not entirely, but I will read it out. What do you think about this team? Edison, Lewis, Aitnori, Dalot, Mbeumo, Rogers, Bruno, Garnacho, bloody hell, I'm trying to like visualize this now as well. One free transfer. Oh, I think maybe just roll. I don't know. I'm not sure about Bruno. Sorry, that's just my bias there. Sorry, that's not very helpful. Owamara, I'm really sorry, I'm butchering your name as well. Maybe send me a tweet. Send me your team. I'll have a look at it. Happy to do that. What else? Yes, it was the legendary Andy Martin who went to the Bournemouth Hotel. That was hilarious. What else is going on? Is Trent worth it? Currently keeping him for the next three, but does block me from getting Palmer Saka. So I took out Trent. Do I think he's worth it? Yes, I do like Trent. I didn't want to remove Trent, but then the only reason I got rid of Trent is because I wanted Salah. But look, I think it comes down to your team. If I could, I would have kept Trent, as well. Dushan, yes. Happy Diwali. Happy Diwali to all of you that celebrate. I celebrate Diwali. Tomorrow is Diwali. So for us here in Australia, it's really funny because Diwali falls on the same day as Halloween. So it's Diwali and Halloween together. But because of the time difference as well, so Diwali's falling after 9 p.m. over here in Australia on the 31st and goes into the 1st of November as well, which is really bizarre. So we get a lot of that happening for those that strictly follow Diwali on a particular time and date and all of that. But happy Diwali to everyone. Maybe for my next video or stream that I do to firm up my game week 10 team, I might just put on one of my Indian outfits. Why not? We need to make the cartel an offer they can't refuse. So yeah, I mean, I'm not even going to touch on the cartel stuff. It's just bloody hilarious. You know, I haven't been following a lot of like Twitter over the last couple of weeks. I've just been so busy. As I mentioned, I haven't done a stream or a video in a really long time. So yeah, I've not really been able to follow much, but I caught up on some of the tweets, and funny enough, our FPL Australia group chat got renamed, and I was so confused opening up the chat, and there was a new, like, you know, display picture as well. It was just, yeah, brilliant. So what else? What else? Going on. Okay. Yeah, you guys are just chatting. Brilliant. Thank you. Where am I from? I live in Australia, but I'm from the UK. But I'm hitting 10 years. So next month or in November, I'm hitting 10 years in Australia. I can't believe that. But I'm frequently back in the UK because my family is there. So I'm looking forward to spending Christmas with my family after a very long time. So looking forward to being there for a couple of weeks over the break as well. Penalties. Yep, Cunha is on penalties. I think that's pretty much it. It doesn't look like there's any other questions or any other comments there. So yeah, we'll end the stream there. I was just going to say that Ryan, Football Chatbox is about to start his stream in about a few minutes. If you don't follow Ryan, please do check out his channel. It's fantastic. One of our amazing FPL managers over here in Australia. So yeah, please do check that out. I'm also doing a Q&A, as I mentioned, with Brian from FPL USA Press Play podcast tomorrow morning. So I'll be recording that with him over some breakfast, and I'll post that up later in the day or on Friday, of course, before the game week 10 deadline as well. If you have any comments or feedback or any suggestions for me, please do let me know in the chat. Tweet me. I love sort of seeing your comments as well. And any messages from you guys, I always respond to you as well. So yeah, please do leave me a message. What are you thinking about your transfers? Do you think I should take a hit? Should I just roll? Let me know as well. Love getting your feedback. And it's very much a community type of stream as well. So yeah, I do appreciate your support. Anyway, thanks again for tuning in. There's 15 of you watching now. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate you being there. And those of you that are listening on the podcast, really do hope it was an enjoyable listening experience as well. But take care for now, and I'll catch you before the end of before the deadline of game week 10. Take care and good luck as well.